Well, I hope you're leaning on the Lord Jesus this morning. And He is a friend, one who sticketh closer than any brother. And praise the Lord this morning for our Savior, our Redeemer, our friend, Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to welcome everyone this morning to Calvary Baptist Church. And I want to welcome our Facebook viewers as well. I always want to keep them in the mix. But good to see everybody. Good to have you this morning in the house of the Lord on this Mother's Day morning. Wonder if we have any mothers in the house this morning. Go ahead and raise your hand if you're a mother. All the way through. Yeah. Well, we appreciate all mothers and what mothers do and what mothers are capable of doing. And sometimes all that Christy does, she just keeps going and going and going, wounded or otherwise, and or in health. And then I get a little boo-boo and I start whining about it. And just what a blessing it is to have a wife, to have a mother. You know, back in the garden when Adam was created, God looked upon him and says, it's not good for man to be alone. There's just something about the makeup of man where we need the assistance of a woman. And it's just something that they bring to the table that completes us. And I just want to say I'm so very thankful for the race of women. I'm thankful for my wife, my mother. Thankful for her. And she's been in heaven around 7 years now, but I just want to say thank God for mothers this morning, and so good to be here. I want to mention just a couple requests, and then we're going to keep the service moving. But Miss Marianne is here this morning, and daughter Lean, and so good to see you too. Brother Ed comes home today, right? Okay. Brother Ed's coming home today, but he's been to this point in Cobb Tranquility. Some of you have seen the post we made on our church Facebook page. And he's been up and down health-wise, as you know. I went to see him the other day, and he was nearly sitting up in his bed and smiling and, you know, and waving at everybody. He had a lot of visitors, as me and Miss Marianne spoke yesterday, that it really boosted his morale and allowed him to be a little more lively. And but nonetheless, he is leaving the Tranquility and coming back home. And so we just, the family ask, and I encourage you to just pray for the family. But also, drop by for a visit. And Miss Marianne told me specifically to let the church know that Brother Eddie loves visitors, and it does them well. But do call before you come by. And if you don't have her number, just see me after the service. So let's remember this request. All right, let me just take a moment to welcome any new visitors. Do we have any new visitors to Calvary this morning? I think we've seen everybody before, and so we appreciate you coming this morning. All right, well, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And we won't stall any longer, other than just saying this, that at the conclusion of the service, we do have a gift for all you mothers. And so don't dart out the door just yet. Hang around for a few moments after service. Not long, just a moment or two, and receive your gift. Father God, we come this morning in Jesus' name. God, we're so very thankful for that sweet name. There is no name like the name of Jesus. And Father, today we come to you in Jesus' name. We minister in Jesus' name. God, we ask these prayers in Jesus' name. And Father, we sing in your name. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today that doesn't know you personally as Savior, that they would call on your name for salvation. And to all the rest of us, Lord, who are saved and know you, Lord, we've been going at this thing for some time now in our Christian journey, and sometimes we struggle, sometimes we just don't go forward as far as we like. So I pray if there's any struggling Christians today, or those that may be following from afar, that they would come back to the cross and call upon your name, not to get saved again, but just ask for a special touch to follow you more closely. We're thankful for all the mothers here today. We're thankful for all of the mothers in the entire world, God. We're thankful that you gave this very special gift, like you did unto Adam when he didn't know no better. He didn't know he needed any help. It was something that God saw in the heart of man that he needed. Thank you today for mothers and wives, that virtuous woman, Lord, that's so hard to find, that you have prepared for men. Lord, today we love you, we thank you, we praise you. And we pray that you'll just use this service today to be a blessing to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Church, would you stand with me? Choir, would you stand this morning? And before we sing, I want to say this. I wouldn't want to bring a damper on the service at all, but some folks are going through some very difficult times. This is not the greatest day for some. They've lost their mother recently, and Miss Catherine is not here with us this morning, and she had lost her mother recently. And it seems that no matter how short the time nor how long the time, we still continue to miss our mothers if they're not here with us. So I would encourage you, if you have an opportunity, if you can't get where she is, please call her and tell her Happy Mother's Day. But if you can, spend some time with your family today. And please, if your mother's still here, give her a big old hug. There's nothing greater that she would enjoy this morning than a big hug. Just say, I love you, and Happy Mother's Day. And again, I wouldn't want to put a damper on anything today, but I hope that you have a wonderful Mother's Day, and I hope the Lord will bless you in a great way. My mother's been gone for over 20 years. It seems like just yesterday. But this morning, I'm glad to know that we can sing a song that says, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Page 393, if you need it this morning. All right, everyone sing with me now.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace in the
good to see you in the house of the Lord. And if you are visiting with us, you are a special guest today. And I pray the Lord just give you a great big blessing today for being in the house of the Lord. Please remember that there will be no evening service. You'll have an opportunity to spend time with your families today. No choir practice, of course, today. But we'll get it kicked all back into gear next week with a full day. And we're very thankful for that. But please spend some time with your families today if you can. And I just hope everybody has a wonderful day. We have many prayer requests, and we would never be able to remember them all. But please remember Miss Ruby Harper going through a very difficult time. Dawn still recovering from her surgery. It's great to have Tracy with us this morning. And I know you've been going through some difficult times, and we're just glad to have you all in the house of the Lord today. Let's go to him in a word of prayer, ask God's blessing on the offering as well. Father, we love you. And Lord, we come to you this morning with a thankful heart. Lord, with an attitude of worship and praise, Lord, on our lips. And Lord, I pray that you would just accept our worship and our praise today. Lord, you're so worthy. Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, for what you've done for us. Thank you for salvation that is full and free. Lord, if there be someone here today that's never accepted you as the Lord and the Savior of their life, Lord, what a great day it would be today on this Mother's Day that someone would come to know you as the Lord and Savior. And Lord, I pray that you would just, Lord, touch our pastor today. Lord, I pray that you'd fill him. God, I know you've given him a message. Lord, I pray that you'd give him the anointing on his life, Lord, that you have placed on his life to bring the message today. Lord, I pray that we would leave this place and say it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. For those that are going through a difficult time, Lord, whether it be physically, emotionally, financially, Lord, whatever it is, Lord, you're the God that is able to take care of all of our needs. And Lord, I pray that you would just, Lord, supply them with whatever they stand in need of. Now bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. Lord, again, give us a great day in your house. We will praise you, and we will thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. No children's church announcement. No children's church this morning. Spend time with your families.
No one knew how long I've been feeling, and the emptiness I tried so hard to hide. Though I laughed and said, my life is fine without you. Though that I cried. But then one day, someone told me of your mercy and the love you showed on a hill called Calvary. There you died to purchase my redemption. When you broke sin's power and set my spirit free, I'm amazed that you love me. See, I'm amazed how you care. Through your precious blood, I found my and my sins are washed. They're all washed away. Oh, my sins are washed away. Yes, it's true. There have been days when I failed you. Lord, you know that there's been times that I've gone astray, but I've learned your love is stronger than my weakness, thank God, and your ear is open every time I pray. No one else has ever cared for me like you, Lord. You see other friends, they've never been as close to me. See, I'm not afraid to face the problems of tomorrow. Why? Knowing you are everything I'll ever need. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you
just don't know what a blessing David is to me. As I sat down, he said, "Don't break my bench." I've lost 3.5 pounds, thank you. But I'll pick them up at lunch today. I didn't plan on saying anything, but I felt like maybe I should. I've always hated Mother's Day. I know it's a special day to a lot of people. I've always just hated it. I guess being raised at the children's home, watching the younger girls in the church come in with their mommy and me dresses on where they're dressed the same, I wanted to trip them and push them down the stairs. I just hated, but that was funny. It's okay to laugh, my therapist said. But I've just always hated Mother's Day. And I thank God that when I look back, I must have been a pill like Melita. I mean, I must have been a real, real pill. But thank you for your patience and kindness and love. And I looked about, I don't know, 7 or 10 years ago, however long it's been, Mother's Day changed for me. You know, most of the time you look at some point and you lose a mother in life. I gained one. God did a miracle in our life, and I'm so thankful. And I'll quit talking before I cry. Well, because if I do, she will, and oh, it'll be a mess. She, too late. But I just got to tell you, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. And this song says, "Light of the world, you stepped down into darkness." Boy, did God do that in my life.
Again, it's so good to be here this morning, and we appreciate you coming. That you may have come, you have a mother here, or any other reason for coming. We just thank you for coming. I want to give a very special thank you to our ladies ensemble. Miss Christie was invited a few weeks ago to come yesterday over at Grace Baptist Church and speak at the ladies' banquet, or the ladies' brunch. I don't want to say banquet, brunch. And it was a tremendous time. And the ladies' ensemble, she invited them to come. And wow, what a great job. What a great job y'all did. Sang about four or five, something like that. And Miss Christie came and she spoke for a little while. And so we thank you for coming to that. And I just want to say that I'm proud of my wife. She did a tremendous job yesterday. And she spoke on the many hats that women wear. And I don't know if you're on Facebook or not, but you can get on there and get on our page and check that out. We put a coat rack on the stage and put several hats, and she went through trying on them hats. I tell you, it was a sight. It was funny. It was to the heart, and it was just a blessing. So we appreciate that. All right, Hebrews chapter number 11 for a few moments. Hebrews 11. And again, there's no service tonight. We'll do the very same thing on Father's Day so that you can spend time with your loved ones. But Hebrews 11, and again, let me say at the end of the service, all mothers will have just a small gift. Hebrews 11. I'm going to read verse number 11, but I want to pray first, ask God to bless His Word and the going forth of His Word this morning. Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You. God, You know more than anybody that I need You right now. Lord, I pray for a clear head and a calm heart. Father, I pray that You would use Your Word this morning. The message, God, the verses that You placed upon my heart, I pray that the mothers here would be encouraged and be challenged. But also the message is for everyone, and I pray that there'll be encouragement and challenge for all of us this morning. We love You today, we praise You, and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Hebrews chapter number 11, in verse 11, says, through faith also, notice these next two words, Sarah herself. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. That's going to be our main verse this morning. Hebrews 11, 11. And I just want to say the book of Hebrews is known as the book of better, and contrasting the Old Testament, but yet more specifically pointing to Jesus in the New Testament. Jesus being a much better way. Jesus being our new covenant. And here in chapter number 11, we have the Hall of Faith. A lot of people like to call it the Hall of Faith. And within this Hall of Faith, we have a record of great things that were accomplished by regular people. And these great things were accomplished by regular people through faith. And I say these were regular people because they were. They were made out of the same stuff that we're made out of. And for example, Abraham had to get saved. There was a time where he left Ur of the Chaldees. And having left home after he had his experience with God. And on we go. All through here are regular people that God used in extraordinary ways, and through the element of faith. I do want to call your attention to the two words I mentioned a moment ago in verse 11. Sarah herself. Sarah herself. The word herself here implies something, I believe. It implies that there was something remarkable in the fact that she had such a faith where it's listed here in Hebrews 11:11. It speaks of the kind of faith that she had. It speaks of some things that took place in her life that maybe at one point in her life she didn't exhibit great faith. So this morning, with that thought in mind, that brief introduction, I'd like to share with you for a few moments this subject: Sarah's journey to motherhood. Sarah's journey to motherhood. Sarah's journey to motherhood was a very remarkable thing. While Hebrews, as I mentioned just a moment ago, here in Hebrews, it shows the very strength of Sarah. It shows and it highlights her faith here and how that she believed God and trusted in Him. Although she was at an old age, she still continued to trust. It really highlights those good elements of Sarah, as well as all the other patriarchs and matriarchs here in chapter 11. It mentions those good parts. And again, we have a collected a group of people whom God used mightily. There's Abel, there's Enoch, there's Noah, Abraham, Sarah, and on we go. And it just illustrates that through faith, things can be accomplished, and God can use a person in a very, very mighty way. But it shows her strength here. It shows her strength. But truth be known, this morning, in the life of Sarah, she showed and she dealt with a lot of weaknesses. As she first heard the words that God spoke to Abraham and gave him the Abrahamic covenant, that God would bless him, and that through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. From that time until the time the baby came, it was a series of struggles. And I appreciate chapter 11 and how it does illustrate all of those great elements. But you know, the Bible is a very, very true book. The Bible not only shares the good things about these patriarchs and matriarchs, but it also shares the not so good things. Those elements where they struggle. Those elements where they fall short. You say, Brother Justin, why don't the Bible just mention all the good things? Well, because you and me are reading the Bible this morning, and we are people that are frail and prone to wonder. And it does our spiritual man good to be able to read not only the good about these patriarchs and matriarchs, but also it does us good to read about their struggles as well. So this morning we see that Sarah's journey to motherhood was a very remarkable thing. While Hebrews shows her strength, her life had a great time of weaknesses. Yet, Sarah kept moving forward, and because of that desire to move forward, because of that desire to not just stay in her struggle, mourning and licking her wounds, so to speak, over her failures, she had that desire to move forward. And because of that, she's listed here in the Hall of Faith. Now, let me just say this before we get into the message this morning. The intention, the goal of this message is, of course, to encourage and challenge mothers in some way, in some degree, but also to encourage and challenge every last one of us that are here this morning. And so if we could accomplish that, I believe God's will would be accomplished. And so some things about Sarah's journey to motherhood. All right, turn if you would to the first book of the Bible, and that is Genesis chapter number 17. For just a moment, we're done with Hebrews for now. Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17. Again, Sarah's journey to motherhood. Genesis chapter number 17, I want you to notice one specific verse, and that is verse number 15. Genesis 17 and verse number 15. When it comes to the journey of Sarah to her motherhood, first of all, we see God's word about Sarah. Genesis 17 and verse number 15, the Bible says, "And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." And this morning, let me say that when it comes to this journey of Sarah to motherhood, we see God's word. What was God's word to her? Well, number one, God's word to her had to do with a name change. Again, he says in verse 15, "And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be." You say, "Brother Justin, what's so significant about this name change?" Well, the significance about the name change has everything to do with the meaning of the name. Now, Sarai was the first name, S-A-R-A-I. Now it is Sarah. And the name Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, means princess. It means princess. And so the Lord was speaking about the life of Sarah, and he spoke to the husband Abraham, and he said that, "I'm going to change her name from what it used to be to something new. Because it used to be associated with just a bunch of struggles. It used to be associated, her old name Sarai, with a lot of setbacks and heartaches and repeats of steps in life. He said, but I'm changing it to Sarah because there is something that I see special about her. She's a princess." I want to say this morning that in life, we view ourselves differently than God views us. If you're a child of God this morning, you are that very thing, a child of God. And sometimes in life when we miss the targets that we're trying to hit of His holiness and purposes, sometimes we're very hard on ourselves and we get discouraged and we may loosen our efforts in following Jesus. But you see, we ought not to view ourselves as horrible or a failure. You're a mother and you're here this morning, and when you became a mother, it was associated with a lot of struggles and setbacks and heartaches, and you just feel like you're worthless and useless even unto this present day. You ought not to feel that way about yourself, especially if you're a child of the King. Because while we view ourselves one way, God views us a whole other way. You remember the story in the Old Testament, the book of Judges, where God wanted to use Gideon. I say this often, but I love it. And we know that Gideon, for fear of the Midianites that came into the land and besieged it, he was threshing wheat by the wine press. And as he was threshing wheat by the wine press, trying to store up some resources because the enemy stole all the goods in the land, the words of God sounded unto him and said, "Gideon, thou mighty man of valor." He called him a mighty man. Now, I'm sure that Gideon felt every way at that moment but a mighty man. I mean, he was, for fear of the enemy being in the land, he was threshing wheat by the wine press. You thresh wheat on a threshing floor. And so that tells us that God viewed him differently than Gideon viewed his very self. Gideon didn't view himself as a mighty man of valor, but one of fear and one of just being doubtful about resources in the future because of the enemy. This morning, as we look here in Genesis, we see that God had a word about Sarah. And it was that at a specific time, her name would change. It would go from Sarai to Sarah. And of course, we know that Abram's name changed from Abram to Abraham. And we know that the majority of this name change has to do with the covenant, the Abrahamic covenant God made with him, that he would truly and sincerely and with a surety give him, her, a son, and that all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And so number one this morning, when it comes to Sarah's journey to motherhood, we see that God had a word about her, that he was going to change her name. It was going to be called Sarah, which means princess. But number two, if you look in verse number 16, he said that he would bless her. That he would bless her. And I will. Those two words are very important in the Bible. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her. And she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. When Jesus says, I will, you can write it down. He's not going to forget and he's not going to backtrack of what he says. We serve a God this morning that cannot change. We serve a God this morning that cannot lie. He is not in the lying business. He is not in the changing business. Our Father God is not this morning. And so he spoke to her and he said that, I'm going to bless her. I will. And I'm going to use her. I will bless her. I will bless her. Says it twice in this verse. He says he's going to, or she shall be a mother of nations. That is an elevated position. Abraham being the father of nations. So we see this wonderful storyline that's being painted from the very mouth and heart of God down to Abraham, unto Sarah. And again, we read in Hebrews 11:11 how the very good of Sarah was pinned down. But notice again, Sarah herself believed. And that just points back to some of the experiences she had where she struggled. But yet in the midst of the struggle, God seeing the future, the end from the beginning, the Lord Jesus seeing the potential that this young woman had, he said that I'm still going to use you and bless you. I'm going to change your name. Thank God this morning that he looks beyond our faults and failures. And thank God this morning that he has purposes for our lives. He has given every one of us at least one gift. And so this morning we do have a path that we're on. And we do have things that are incorporated into our lives as we walk this path. But no matter what happens in our life, while we're walking on our individual pathways, God wants to do something in your life. So we see God's word about Sarah. Let me move on. Number two, this morning, it's going to be in chapter 16. And so not only God's word about Sarah, but I want to mention some things about Sarah's struggle. Sarah's struggle. Chapter 16. In verse number 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, listen to this. Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. Let me stop there for a moment. She recognized God's hand in her life saying, no, not right now. Yet she went above and beyond what God was doing to make this happen. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Man, that's twice us men messed up in the very beginning. The first book of the Bible. Adam messed up by listening to Eve and ate that fruit. Now, Abram is messed up and has messed up by listening to Sarah. I want you to notice that the mindset of Sarah has to be understood. Now, what I'm about to say, I'm not condoning what she did, what Abraham did. I would never do that. I would never tell you if God has closed the door in your life that you need to try to kick it down or go find another door. But I would tell you and encourage you to wait on the Lord, to pray, to get busy serving while you're waiting. But what happens here, the mindset of Sarah is simply this. There's three things I want you to consider. At this particular time when she said what she said about getting Hagar. Number one, God had promised a son, as we know, to Abraham years before. This is the Abrahamic covenant. And let me just read you a couple things from here in Genesis chapter number 12 and verse number 2. Just listen to the I wills in this covenant. Verse number 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That was the first mention of this Abrahamic covenant, that God was going to give him a son. And this was nothing that Abraham and Isaac had to help God with. This was something that God was going to do. They didn't have to try to kick down any doors. They didn't have to try. And listen, by the very age that they were, in chapter number 16, tells us that, of course, they trusted God down through the years. But they got to a place, and Sarah got to the place where they were just tired of waiting. They were tired of hoping. They were tired of worrying. And so Sarah says, Abraham, I've got a handmaid here. And I want you to go into her, and I want her to conceive a child for us. But all the while in this struggle in the heart and mind of Sarah, one thing to consider about her mindset is that God had promised a son to Abraham years before. He said, I will, I will, I will. And so we're considering that as she makes this attempt toward Hagar. Number two, trying to understand the mind of Sarah, we need to understand Abraham and Sarah were up in age. And so we know she really wanted that son, that child. Not only was it promised, but she waited for so long, he waited for so long for this child. It didn't come yet, and they're up in age. Genesis, back in Genesis 16, in verse 16, the last verse tells us that at this particular time, Abraham was 86, and Sarah was 10 years younger, 76. You do the math and follow it through, it's there. And so that's something else to consider. God, we've waited and waited. Lord, I know you promised and you said you was going to do some things in our life and use us greatly. God, I'm 76 and husband is 86. And have a kid and be used greatly. It just really doesn't seem doable at this point in our life. And so we're understanding the mind of Sarah during this time of struggle. But not only that, but number three, it was considered a shame in the Old Testament times for a wife not to bear children. And so as she was out in the public and the marketplace, whatever, what have you, up and down the streets, maybe with Abraham and around people, they would come to town walking and people, hey, Abraham, Sarah, and get to looking for that child. And you know how that must have made them feel. I mean, we're speculating here. Abraham, Sarah, how y'all doing? Why don't you, I want to invite you to our kid's birthday party. Oh, maybe I shouldn't have invited them. They didn't have any children. And as we speculate this, surely if those things actually happened, Sarah would feel a grief in her soul, her spirit. Abraham trying to stay strong for Sarah, and they just continue to struggle. What about you this morning? What about you? Has God given you hopes and dreams and aspirations in your life to go on and do something great for Him? Have you been praying about this wonderful family you've always wanted, a great godly spouse, a wife, a husband, and it's not moving as fast as you like? And because of the friends you have, they have everything you don't have. Things, legitimate things, things that are desired from a human being, natural things, but yet you've been praying and you've been asking God for those things, and everyone has those things but you. That's a struggle, my friend. Because what the devil does is, while you struggle to just have those needful things, those natural things, and you're believing God that He said He will provide for you, He wants you to have those natural good things, and you're clinging to God's word, the devil wants to remind you how God has not come through for you yet. There's been some times in my Christian journey, being married and being a dad, pastor, being in ministry, where God knows the truth, that me and this woman have given God everything. I'm not saying that the cost that was involved. I'm not trying to poor mouth or sound spiritual, because I don't even deserve to be saved. But He died for me and I accepted Him. But we've struggled. We've had, not so much in our marriage, we don't have a perfect marriage, but we have a great marriage and we're a great team. But ministry things, things down at the schoolhouse, and those natural things that happen in life, we've struggled before. We continue to struggle at times like everybody else. And sometimes it's the devil will get on your shoulder and tell you, oh yeah, big boy, God said He's going to use you in the ministry, huh? Well, when's the last time somebody joined the church? Well, praise the Lord, I can say a couple weeks ago now. Some have been talking about joining in addition to that. But the devil, he loves to get on your shoulder at your time of weakness, when you're struggling physically, when you're struggling financially. Let me say that one. Boy, aren't we living in tough times where finances are slim, and you know, it seems like the cost of living is going up, but everything else is staying the same, and it's just a struggle. It's a struggle with the gas pumps. My goodness. Last week I spent, I guess it was $120 on that little Avalon of ours. And that's just going to Grace Christian School and back four times a day. There in the morning, back in the morning. There in the afternoon, back in the afternoon. You know, visits or errands I have to run. That's a lot for a little four-cylinder, six-cylinder. But at the end of the day, it all adds up. And you know, you're at home and you're getting through your week and you're grinding it out. And you get close to Sunday, maybe Saturday, and you're writing out your tithe. The devil gets on your shoulder and says, boy, you could really use that this week. You could really use that little bit of money to replace the money you put in gas or for food, whatnot. The devil likes to taunt us. He likes to hold God's word in our face when things aren't panning out as fast as we like. And in return of that, we struggle. Maybe there's some things that you're here this morning and you brought with you that you want to lay down at the altar. Someone that you want to see get saved. Some kind of problem at work. Some kind of something that's not clicking the right way, and it's been staying that way for a long time, and you've cried and you've prayed and you've asked God for help, but things remain the same. I'll just get up in the morning and just struggle my way all the way to Friday. Monday and Tuesday, I'll just put up with the same person at work every day. I'll just struggle with every day with finances, trying to balance it all out in my head. I'll just struggle my way through my day. The devil loves to see us struggle. The devil loves to see us begin to wane in our faith and begin to doubt the faithfulness of Almighty God. I just want to remind everyone, including myself, that Paul says in Philippians 4 that my God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory. So you know what I'm going to do this morning, me, Justin Hales? I'm not going to worry about finances. I'm not going to worry about the big bully down at the schoolhouse. I'm not going to worry about the person at work that doesn't work and expects someone else to do all the work. And if you slack up on your job, you're going to get in trouble, but they never do. I'm not going to worry about that. What I'm going to do is I am going to trust the Lord all I can. And I'm going to not lean on my own understanding. What I'm going to do is in all my ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct my paths. Lord Jesus, if this struggle I'm going through right now, my family, individually, if this is your indication that you want me to go left and not continue to go this way, let me know. Other than that, I'm continuing on. I'm going straight. I'm going to trust your word. But you see, back to Sarah, God told her, I'm going to give you a son. Told Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. I will. Nothing's happening. Nothing's happening this morning. Look at verse number 2 again. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. In essence, what we see here, the mindset of Sarah was unbelief. It was unbelief. She chose to believe what she perceived that was on the surface over God's promise. God says, I'm going to give it. I know you're getting older, but it's coming. And she chose to look on the surface of things. She chose to look at the natural things that were taking place in her life and on the surface, and she believed those things over God's word. And listen, I just told you what I'm prepared to do, to believe God and walk and trust and believe. I'm not saying I won't struggle trying to do that. But you know what? I told somebody this week, I said, by foot or belly, I'm going to make it to the finish line. Meaning I may be walking with God and just running for the Lord, you know, to the big grassy field with the flowers everywhere. Or I may be on my belly, army crawling to the finish line. Whether by foot or belly, I'm going to fulfill what God has for my life. By foot or belly, this family, our family, we're going to move forward. It may not always be a bed of roses. There may be times of struggle, and there will be. We're going to move forward. We are going to exercise the faith we have that God's been cultivating since we've been saved as a family unit. We will exercise that faith in believing God for miracles, believing God for Him to part the waters and make a way when there is no way. We're just going to believe God this morning. And so Sarah was here. She was restrained. She knew she was restrained, but through unbelief, she made a bad decision. Basically, Sarah is saying, if it hasn't happened now, it's not going to happen. Let me say this. Unbelief this morning, in my estimation, is the prerequisite for bad decisions. I'm a very simple-minded person. I'm so simple-minded, sometimes I get confused with little stuff. I just do. Because I'm simple-minded, but I overthink. I'm very complex. So God's straightening me out, trying to make things more easier to understand. Unbelief is a prerequisite to making bad decisions. If we don't believe God will provide, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to go, and if we're struggling financially, if you're struggling financially and you're doubting God will supply your need to pay your mortgage, etc., you can go rob a bank. What are you going to do? You going to sell drugs? What are you going to do? And so there has to be a decision made, because through unbelief, bad decision-making follows. Sarah, she did not believe God as strong as she did at one time. She says, "The Lord hath restrained me." So Abraham, this is what we're going to do. She told Abraham what to do. Boy, that's out of order, isn't it? The man is the leader of the house. Now, we're not to be cavemen, but we're to follow the Lord in such a way that our wives would love to follow us, and they are assured we're going the right way. So what happened here? Well, Sarah, she wanted that kid. It was promised to her, so she said, "Abraham, go get Hagar." And so that's exactly what happened. He went and got Hagar. Look at verse number 3. "And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes." And so there was conception. God, if you're not going to do it, I'm going to do it. And it was done. Not only was it wrong for what they did, she was experiencing unbelief, and during her struggle, she made this decision. It was a bad one, but it got even worse than that was expected to be. So the plan was to get Hagar and then have a kid. This would be the promised seed. But after Hagar conceived, she despised her mistress. She despised Sarah. Why would she despise Sarah? Why would she get angry at Sarah? This is what I believe. And I'm trying to get to a place of sharing that through unbelief, bad decisions can happen. And I mean, it's a snowball effect. They just continue happening until we make a change and believe God. But Hagar was a handmaid. And she felt, from what I've studied and read, other commentators have said, the reason why she despised and got angry at Sarai is because she was wanting to be elevated as the wife of Abraham, like Sarah was. And she wasn't. She didn't have that kind of elevation. So she despised Sarah. And this was told to Abraham. Abraham said, "Do whatever you want to do with her." We know that Sarah dealt harshly with Hagar, and she fled, and she went away crying. Look at verse number 6. "But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand, do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur." And there's this whole conversation between what I believe a pre-visit of the Lord, appearance of the Lord to Hagar. And told Hagar, "Hagar, I want you to go back, submit yourself to Sarah, because this wasn't supposed to happen. This wasn't my best. This wasn't the plan. Go back, submit yourself to Sarah." Now, verse number 15, listen to this. "And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram." That's That's 86 years old. So this is what we have. We have a bad decision because of unbelief. Sarah got ahead of God. And this morning, I just encourage not only mothers, but all of us, hold out. Hold on just a little bit longer. Hold out just a little bit longer. Hold yourself. Hold your place. Sometimes we're running for God. Again, sometimes we're walking for God. But you know, in Ephesians 6, Paul says, "And having done all to stand." That's really the ultimate goal. Is through all of the ups and downs of our Christian journey and the attacks of the devil, is to just be standing. Just be standing. And so we see that the child was born. The things were done. And now look at chapter number 17 and verse number 1, and we'll bring it to a close. We just got through looking at Sarah's struggle. We talked about God's word about Sarah. And then lastly, look at verse number 1, chapter 17. "And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, so Abraham, again, simple thinking, Abraham was 86, now he's 99. 13 years had passed. "And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God." How about that? "Walk before me and be thou perfect." Brother Justin, what are you getting at? I'm getting at this. On this last point that I believe wrapped up in verse number 1 of chapter 17 was God's way of giving them a fresh start. God's way of renewing His promise. And so 13 years have passed. We have a 13-year-old Ishmael that's been loved by Abraham. We have this dysfunctional household where Sarah's living there. First wife. And she's been living with this bad decision she made. And Hagar is back working. There's this little boy running through the house. Baby, toddler now. He's a teenager. Ishmael. And so, you know, Ishmael's going to, I'm sure he would ask one day, "Daddy Abraham, which one is my mama?" Huh? I'm talking about real things that will surface and have to be talked about. Is Sarah my mama or Hagar? Anyway, after that experience, God showed up. There was a, with the indication of Scripture, how things have been flowing in Abraham's life, God appeared to Abraham, I believe, 3 times before this. And then in chapter 18, verse 1, he appears to Abraham then. But it was after this situation, there was 13 years of silence. That's tough. There was 13 years where Abraham must have had time to really think about what he did and reflect upon his decisions. And same thing for Sarah. Again, there's this 13-year-old boy in the house named Ishmael. And oh, they're really clinging to him, that he's still the promised seed. I'll tell you why. Chapter 17, the Lord is renewing this covenant. He is telling Abraham it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to be through Sarah. It's going to happen. And then we read, let me find it. For the sake of time, he says, "Lord, Ishmael is the seed." He says, "Ishmael is the seed, Lord." It's in there. I don't have time to find it. And so Abraham is still clinging to Ishmael. But yet the Lord is saying, it's not going to be through Ishmael. Look in verse number 15, the very two verses we started with. "And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of people. shall be of her. Look at verse 17. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old? Here it is. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. So he was in this struggle, both of them. She knew she went through a door that God didn't open, because she says, God restrained me. Let's go for Hagar. And they did. And for 13 years, they were living in deception. Let me say something right here. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived that every decision we make is God's best. Because when it comes to decision making, we need to pray about making decisions. We need to go to God and ask Him. A lot of people don't even ask God what to do. They make a decision and they put God's name on it, and their life is wrecked and ruined. They're out of church. They're deceived. So we see that Abraham was still hanging on to the fact that it was Ishmael. Verse 19. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. I love that little word, indeed. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son. And if that's not enough for you, Abraham, indeed. It's going to happen. Don't make the same mistake again. Don't get impatient. If I said I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I've heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. Jump down to verse 24. And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Verse 25, and these remainder verses deal with that circumcision, dealing with, of course, the covenant that God was going to give him a son through Sarah. Chapter 18, God reconfirms again. It's going to be Sarah. It's going to be Sarah. Verse number 10 of chapter 18. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Without reading many more verses, Sarah laughed. She laughed. We're old. We have Ishmael here. Verse number 14 says this, and this is where I want to end the message. But my last point has to do with the second chance. Verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? This is big. This really helped me. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. This morning I said all of that, talked about the journey of Sarah to motherhood, you know, mentioned that God had a name for her. She was going to go from Sarai to Sarah. Talked about her struggle, and talked about the second chance, because all of us are on a path this morning. All of us. And there's times of struggle. There's times where we just blow it and make horrible decisions. But we serve a God who gives a second chance. And if you haven't heard his voice in a while, maybe it's time this morning to come down and do business with him and to hear his voice again. He is the Almighty God, El Shaddai, meaning all-powerful, all-sufficient. He told that to Abraham because he wanted Abraham to know you don't have to lean on any other resource for fulfillment. You don't have to get ahead of me to have a son. You just wait on me and it'll happen. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, for what you do. I pray somewhere in the message this morning, something was connected to someone, and that there might be fruit to bear and fruit to remain. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.